Lord, we thank you for your spirit that lives within every one of your children. Your spirit is your source of power. Your spirit is the one who guides us. Your spirit is the one who helps us to know you through your word. Lord, we cannot do anything without you. Lord, thank you for your spirit. You haven't left us here to do this work on our own. In fact, you've told us we can't do it on our own. We thank you for the Spirit of God that works in your children to help us to walk with you and obey you and serve you. Lord, we thank you for the promise of heaven. We look forward to that day where we will see you face to face, where we'll physically be before your throne. We thank you for that. Lord, there's so many people who don't know any of this. They don't know your word is your word. They don't know Jesus is your only begotten Son to be their Savior. They don't know they're sinners. They don't even know they need a Savior. They don't realize they're missing out on a great, great gift. And it's up to us to just let them know that they're loved so much by you. It's up to us to offer them your peace that passes all understanding to help them through their troubles. It's up to us to share the Redeemer with them just like somebody shared him with us. God, help us to be engaged in your great commission, which is also your great command, to love one another, to love you, and to spread the gospel around the world. God, help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't think that we have anybody prepared for testimony and song. Maybe I'm mistaken on that. Okay. At this time, Brother Norris is going to come and preach. He preached for us on Thursday night and was a great blessing. It was a great message. Preached for the teens in Sunday school today. I'm sure that was a blessing as well. Look forward to having him. He's going to Mozambique. He shared his video this week. We're going to share it again tonight. But great, great story. Him and his brother married two sisters. How about that? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? I love that. And now they're all serving the Lord. All your siblings are all serving the Lord. Your two brothers and you.
Yes, sir.
And the two other brothers are twins, and they're actually ministering together in Delaware. Yeah. One's a pastor, one's a youth pastor. You know, family members can get along. Amen? That's a good thing. God bless you. It's a blessing to have you.
Well, thank you, Pastor, once again for allowing us to be here at Somerville Baptist Church, and it truly is a privilege to be here. I appreciate Pastor Umber. I mean, he's not my pastor, but I had the privilege of being here at your conference in April, and how he just tries to help the other pastors in the Northwest. And to me, I appreciate that fact that with everything that he has on himself, he's willing to try and help other pastors that are in need. And I appreciate that fact. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, last night I had the wonderful privilege of going to the Filippo's house last night and having dinner, and I want to thank them for that and just the wonderful time we had. But as we were driving out there, I was driving with Brother Filippo. He picked me up, and we came to the church here for the prayer meeting, and as we were going home, we got pulled over by the cops. And the cop came to the window, and Brother Filippo says, "Well, what's the matter, officer?" And he says, "Well, you were going above the speed limit." He says, "No, I wasn't." He says, "Yes, you were. I clocked you. The speed limit's 55, and you were going 82. He says, "Yeah, that's the speed limit. See the sign right there? It says 82. He says, "No, this is Highway 82. And then the police officer looked over at me, and he said, "Are you okay, sir? You look like you're as white as a ghost." And I said, "Yes, we just got off the 204. In all reality, no, Brother Filippo, he actually slowed down last night because he didn't want to get pulled over by the cops. So, but we'll begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." If you bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to gather with your people. I pray that you would just speak through me, that you would put me aside, that you would hide me behind your cross so that people would hear from you. I pray that you would allow open hearts and open ears, and that the message that goes forth would be planted, and that people would apply it to their lives. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I find it amazing that the verses that we read earlier as a congregation in John chapter 15 were speaking about love and how God gave us the command to love one another, and how God laid this message on my heart about the topic of love. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about the three great things that there are. It says faith, hope, and charity, but it says, but the greatest of these is charity, or love. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34, Matthew 22 and verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he," speaking of Jesus, "had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.'" Webster's 1828 dictionary gives a definition of love. Love can be either a verb or a noun. And love, when it's a verb, it says, in a general sense, to be pleased with, to regard with an affection. As a noun, it says, in an affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind. Love. It's an interesting topic. Love can be described in a lot of different ways. Love can, in a lot of ways, be misconstrued. I mean, how many have ever sent their child away to school when they were a young child, and they come home and they tell mommy, I'm in love. And it's like, how can you be in love? You're 6 years old. Well, you know, Susie, she's just so beautiful, and I'm going to marry her someday. You know, you have your child love. Children are fast to say they love you. My son, by the time he was, I think before he was even two, you'd say to him, "Deacon, I love you." And he'd respond, "I love you." And I honestly don't know if he truly knew what the meaning of love was, or if he was just saying it back to me because I said it. And then there's the love between a husband and a wife, or somebody who's about to get married, and how they love that person they're getting ready to get married to. And then there's love even beyond that. There's the love that God showed us when he sent his son to die for us. That love that he was willing to do was to die for us. You see, somebody can say, "I love certain things." Like, "Oh, I love chocolate. Chocolate is great." Are you willing to die for chocolate, though? No. I don't think anybody in here, in their right mind, would say, "I'm willing to die for chocolate." No. But how many people have said, "Oh, I love chocolate. Chocolate, oh, this is great." You see, there are many different ways that people use the word love. But as we saw here in Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees, they had heard that the Sadducees, these two groups that just were always trying to get at Jesus, that Jesus had put them to shame, that he had basically shut them up. And so they thought, "Well, we're going to get them. We're better than the Sadducees." So they get this learned man, this man who was a lawyer, gone through school. He knew the law of Moses. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus says, as we saw in verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, but the thing is he didn't stop there. He goes on and says, and the second is like unto it. Basically saying, you know, it's almost like he's saying we have 1A, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, in these three areas of our life. But then he says, but the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Which is almost like him saying this is 1B. They're almost equal. Now, I'd like to show you an illustration if I could. Brother Corbin, do you think I can use you? Are you willing? Do you get stage fright? Bring your Bible. Please bring your Bible. Now, we are going to use Brother Corbin. Now, realize Brother Corbin is just a man. He's human. But we're going to use him to represent God. That's why I asked him to bring the Bible. Because this is God's Word, and God said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Brother Corbin, he's going to stand right here in front of the pulpit, and he's going to represent God and his Word. Brother Martin, can I use you?
Without the Bible?
You can bring it if you want. I mean, you don't have to.
You should.
Corbin says you should. Now, I consider Brother Martin a friend. I've known him for about, I think, 2 years, 2.5 years or something like that. He's a great man. Now, the illustration here is I'm going to show you how these verses work. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You see, at one point in Brother Martin's life, he was lost. He was unsaved. And at some point in his life, when was it that you got saved?
1976.
He got saved in 1976. And from that point on, as a Christian, as a child of God, according to God's word, it is his responsibility to love God in these three areas that are described in Matthew 22. And how he does that, actually, can I have his Bible? I should have had you bring it. So how he loves God is Brother Martin, after he gets saved, the way he's going to find out how he loves God properly is by taking his Bible and opening it and reading God's word. Because God said, if ye love me, keep my what?
Commandments.
Commandments. And how do we find out what God's commandments are? By reading God's word. So every day since the day that Brother Martin has got saved, come stand over here, if you will. He opens God's word and he starts reading through there. And so he's reading along, and say he reads Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where it says, God tells us to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So Brother Martin sees that and he starts witnessing to people. So he starts loving God more. So as he starts loving God more, he starts taking more steps towards God and loving God better every day. Now, there are many ways that we can show this. You see, Brother Martin, as a Christian, it's his job and his responsibility to love God more and more every day. But it doesn't stop there. As we saw, it said, the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, who is Brother Martin's first neighbor? I'm not talking about the person that lives to the right of him or to the left of him or across the street from him or behind him. His first neighbor that he's supposed to love is his wife.
Yes.
Miss Martin, if you'll come up here. You see, in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians in chapter 5, we see over there, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. So, the ultimate way that Brother Martin can show his wife that he loves her, yeah, he can give her gifts, he can, you know, give her affection, but the ultimate way of showing that he actually loves her is by opening the Bible and reading together and showing her how they can love God together better as a couple. So Brother Martin's made steps toward loving God more, and now he has his wife and she's saved, and they're reading God's word together and figuring out how they can love God better with their heart, their soul, and their mind. And so they together take steps towards God and loving him more and better every day. So, we have Brother Martin, saved, 1976. He's taking steps towards God. He has his wife. She's saved. Them together are taking steps closer to God. Now, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, we will add another neighbor to Brother Martin's life. You see, his wife is his first neighbor. But his second neighbor, who he's supposed to love, which is like unto loving God as himself, would be his children. So we have his daughter, and we have his son.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys would please come up here. And so another way that Brother Martin and Miss Martin are going to love God more is by loving their children. And by loving their children, they're going to take their Bibles and they're going to instruct their children in how to live for God. And hopefully, I pray that as their children have lived in their house and grown up, that they've made professions of faith and come to trust in God as their Savior. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, this is Paul talking about women, but it applies to both men and women, as we see throughout the Bible, such as in Proverbs, where it says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. So, Brother Martin and Miss Martin, they take their Bible and they open it and they show their children, first of all, how they can be saved. And then second of all, how they should live their life. How in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so they, as a family, take a step even closer to God and loving God more and more like they should, with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. Now, this is when we start to actually go outside the Martin home and loving their neighbors. You see, it is our job and our responsibility as Christians to be a witness to the neighbors that live around us, to those that live on either side of us, across the street from us, behind us, wherever neighbors are, people that we come into contact with at the store, people that we work with. It is our job and our responsibility to love our neighbors. And God isn't just talking about, oh, love them by giving them gifts and give them a hug every time you see them. That's great if you're that close to your neighbor. But what God is talking about is by introducing them to God.
Amen.
You see, as we already saw, it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Brother Filippo, can I use you? So, let's just say, Brother Filippo is Brother Martin's neighbor. And Brother Filippo is lost. He doesn't know God. So, Brother Martin, if he's truly going to love his neighbor, he's going to take God's word and he's going to witness to Brother Filippo. And the Spirit of God is then going to work and Brother Filippo will come to God. Now, it's not always going to be that easy, but just for the illustration, it is. So, Brother Filippo gets saved. And that's the amazing part about the Great Commission, is when God gave it to us, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them whatsoever I've commanded you. So Brother Martin, who's been in the Word of God, who's been loving his wife, who's been loving his kids, he then turns around and he starts showing Brother Filippo what it means to be a Christian, how he is going to become closer to God more and more every day. He's going to start discipling him. It's okay, Mike, I'm not going to call you up. Not yet. Not yet. So, Brother Martin and his family move closer to God, and because he has led Brother Filippo to the Lord, and he's walking closer to God, and they're getting closer to God every day. This all seems generally easy, yes? Yeah. In my mind, it is generally easy if you just follow God's word and loving your neighbor, loving your wife, loving your children like it says you're supposed to do, loving your neighbor. That's all easy. But this is when it starts getting hard. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, if you turn over there, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew in chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. It says there, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And it goes on. Micah. Can you come up here? You don't have stage fright, you're not going to pass out. I mean, I don't know CPR, so I can't help you. Well, here, come over here. You're not in the group yet. Let me see your Bible. I'll put it right here. You see, it's easy to love your neighbor. But how about your enemy? How about that person that has done you wrong? See, Brother Martin, he's a Marine. He's been on the battlefield. You've been to Iraq. You've been to Afghanistan?
Not Afghanistan.
No, he's been to Iraq. He's been on the battlefield. Over there, when you're on the battlefield and you have your life on the line, what are some of the things that you're thinking about? You want to get back to your family?
Family.
He loves his family. Yeah. He wants to make sure that he's living right for God, because he doesn't want to die and go to heaven and stand before God and say, well, why weren't you living your life right for me? And he's also there to be there for his country because his country has asked him to be there. But if we have the enemy here and he comes over and he starts being mean to Brother Martin, Brother Martin can probably handle it at first. He's a Marine. He's tough. As Marines say, they're the men's department of the Navy. Sorry if there's any Navy people here. But Brother Martin can handle it. But if the enemy starts attacking his wife, well, you know what I think of your wife? Or maybe starts attacking his kids. Well, your kid, David, really? Really? You know him? He's nothing. That's when it starts to become hard. Because it doesn't say there that when your enemy starts to revile you and persecute you, knock them out. It doesn't say push back and say, well, you know what I think of your family, Micah? What does it say he's supposed to do? He's supposed to love his enemy. So instead of pushing back and ridiculing Micah and say, don't you attack my wife, don't you attack my kids, don't you attack my neighbor who just happens to be your dad, you're going to say, that's okay, Micah, God loves you. You can talk all you want about me. My hope's in heaven. My security is in God.
Amen.
So talk about me all you want, and God loves you. God gave himself for you. God sent his son to die for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So next time somebody goes and starts attacking you, who you see as an enemy, who may have not just hurt you with their words, but physically has hurt you, stop and think about the state that you were in when God was willing to send his son to die for you. There's not a single person in here who is worthy of that love. Yet God was willing to send his son to love us.
Amen.
And we in turn need to do that to our enemies. Well, you may say, well, you know, I really don't have any enemies. You know, most people I ever talk to, there's always this one person, this one subject, this one topic that just really gets on people's nerves. Whether it's politics. Oh, well, those people from that other party, they're just, oh, I can't stand them. They're going to ruin the world. I can't talk to them. Or maybe it's someone of a different religion. Well, those Muslims, they're going to kill everybody. We should just blow them up, nuke them till they glow. No, God says that we're supposed to love them. And the ultimate way of loving them is by leading them to God. And so Brother Martin, he loves God by reading his Bible. He loves his wife, and they grow closer to God. And he loves his children, and they grow closer to God. And he loves his neighbor. And then because he decides to obey God's word and to love his enemy, it may take a while, but he takes God's word and he starts showing the enemy who God is. And because he doesn't attack Micah back, that makes Micah think, well, why isn't he attacking me back? Everybody else I've ever attacked has always said nasty things back to me, maybe punched me back after I punched them. What's up with this guy? Why is he so different? And because Brother Martin decided he was going to obey God's word and love his enemy, one day down the road, Micah comes to God and gets saved. And then Micah is no longer an enemy. He's a neighbor. Oh, you see, that's how love works. Love can be said about many things, but when you boil it all down and you start with God, what does it say in the Bible? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That was easy, but would you be willing to lay down your life for your enemy? You see, we were enemies once of God. How is your love this morning? You know, we could fix a lot of problems in our own personal lives, in our marriages, in our families, at work, and even in our churches, if we just followed God's word and loved like we were supposed to. You see, that's the whole thing of missions. I don't think I've ever talked to a single missionary that was truly in the will of God that was going over to a country just because they felt like it. It's because God had placed a love in their heart for that people they were going to go reach. How's your love this morning? Are you loving God like you're supposed to? Are you loving your neighbor like you're supposed to? Who is your neighbor? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Is it your children? Is it your mother? Is it your father? Is it somebody in your family? Or maybe it's that neighbor. I think of that old feud back in West Virginia, the Hatfields and McCoys. That went on for so long. Family murdering other family members just back and forth for so many years. How many people's lives could have been spared if they would have just followed God's word? How is your love this morning? Are you loving God like you should? Are you in his word, figuring out what his commandments for your life are? Or do you think that, well, I go to church, I'm good, I don't need to read God's word every other day. I get it at church. The only way that you're going to love God more is by getting closer to him. Amen. How do you think your marriage would work, or your parent-children relationship if you just said, oh, I'm fine. I can only talk to him once a week, maybe twice a week, and we're good. That relationship's not going to last for very long. Are you loving your neighbors like you should? The greatest of faith, hope, and charity is charity or love. God said that love is above faith. that faith that you have to put in God. The thing is you had to realize the love first. How's your love this morning? Are you loving God like you should? Are you loving your family like you should? Are you loving your neighbors? Are you loving your enemies? Because that's when it gets hard. Maybe you say, well, I don't understand this whole thing of love. Maybe it's because you need to come to know the love of God first. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know God as your Savior, you're not going to understand this thing of love. If you don't know God as your Savior, it all else doesn't matter.
That's right. That's good.
Just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian.
Right.
Just like going and standing in a garage, Corbin, doesn't make you what?
A car.
The only way that you're going to understand God's love is by coming to God as your Savior first. And then all else will make sense. The loving your family like you should, the loving your neighbor, the loving your enemy. Thank you all for your time. You all can go sit down. I hope that this illustration, the fact that you could see in some way how it works, I hope it makes sense. That by loving God more, you should be in your Bible more.
Yeah.
Because God's word is a love letter to us.
Yeah.
If somebody wrote you a love letter and you never read it, would you know how much they loved you? No. How's your love this morning? I can't tell you how it is. A lot of people can put up a facade in front of people. Oh, everything's great at home, but then you go home and it's like World War III is broken out. How is your love this morning? Only you and God are the ones who know where your level of love is.